NPR.
There are all these studies that show that companies with more women leaders perform better in some very specific ways. They're more socially responsible, they provide higher quality customer experiences, and they are more profitable. But there is this big gap.
What we don't know is why.
Yeah, well, we haven't really done a thorough job of looking at what happens over time to companies that add women as leaders. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Sally Herships. Today on The Indicator, we meet a professor who thinks she has solved that mystery. Why having more women in top jobs leads to all these payoffs, and how companies with women leaders change in very specific ways.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Capital One Auto Navigator can help you find a car, get pre-qualified instantly, and see your real monthly payment without impacting your credit score. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms and conditions apply. More at CapitalOne.com/AutoNavigator.
Many of us have heard of Sheryl Sandberg at Facebook or Mary Barra at GM, but most of the other top executives of Fortune 500 companies are men.
Yeah, but we know that when women step into executive roles like CEO, CFO, director, that is associated with an increase in profitability. One study even found a 15% increase in profitability, which is not small potatoes. That could represent millions or even billions of dollars.
Those are some really big potatoes. But we don't know why. It turns out we have just been doing a lot of guessing and assuming and just filling in these potato blanks, often with stereotypes, like the assumption that by nature, women, we are more communal, maybe more risk averse. All of this was not good enough for Corinne Post. She's a professor of management at the Villanova School of Business in Pennsylvania. Just out of curiosity, what made you decide to look into this?
Because I wasn't satisfied with this idea that women were just like a magic ingredient that brought this magical quality.
I am very sorry to tell you that women are not magical in this one particular way. Every woman is different. There is nothing inherently different or unique about women in general that makes them better leaders by default.
And so Corinne did a study. She set out to scientifically answer the question of why companies with women in top jobs do better by taking a look at how these companies change their strategic approach to innovation. Basically, she looked at how much risk they were willing to take after appointing female executives. For example, like, were they more likely to use mergers and acquisitions to innovate? Because in general, mergers and acquisitions, like 70 to 90% of those actually fail. So they can be pretty risky.
Or would they try to innovate by spending more on research and development? That is also risky, but less so. Like, you could spend years trying to develop a new drug and it could fail. But generally speaking, Corinne says with R&D, you have more control. If your new drug starts looking kind of sketchy, you can pull back on the investments, you could make changes. It's just considered less risky.
So to me, I was very curious about how other people change in the presence of women, right?
She knew that women who advance in the kind of giant multinational companies she studies often have this one set of experiences in common.
So it could very well be that you have women come in and everybody starts behaving in different ways. They've had to navigate some pretty treacherous path. They've had to, on the one hand, avoid any situations where they could be, you know, fail. Because we know that when women fail, they get blamed much more. It's much more detrimental to them.
And let's just pause here for a second, because if you doubt what she is saying, there's actually a ton of research backing this up. There are a lot of studies.
Oh, yes. There is a laundry list. Women executives know that they have to walk this tightrope if they assert themselves with traits that are not stereotypically feminine, like dominance, aggressiveness, competitiveness. They can be penalized.
But this one study from the Rockefeller Foundation sums the problem up pretty neatly. It looked at how CEOs are portrayed in the media and followed a bunch of companies through times of crisis, or, you know, to put it politely, times of, quote, transition. It found men and women CEOs do their jobs almost equally in those times of crisis. But in the press, men got blamed for those crises about 30% of the time, while the women CEOs got blamed 80% of the time.
I mean, ladies, you do the math.
So they've had to, on the one hand, you know, pay attention to the sort of challenges that they picked up, not take too risky ones. And at the same time, they've had to do things to make them stand out as competent, as innovative, as visionary, right?
Just do that.
I mean, no problem. That sounds like riding a bike, boiling water.
Right.
No. Corinne says by the time women get these executive positions, it's likely they've developed at least some capacity for thinking carefully about risk.
And so we wanted to see if as they entered, you know, the entire team would catch up on this.
And the way Corinne measured this was by using software to go through thousands of pages of corporate documents and analyzing the language. And what they were doing was hunting for specific words, like lists of words that indicate levels of risk.
Risk is a good one, but venture or chance or betting, those are the sorts of words that connote risk-taking propensity.
So they went through letters to shareholders for 163 multinational companies for more than a decade. Shareholder letters are produced collectively by top executives, so they can show how top management teams think.
So we weren't actually very confident that we were going to find a lot of change. But in fact, there were real changes where certain kinds of words just didn't exist anymore the next year. And these new other words were popping up. So it was surprising to us, too. But it was quite clear and consistent.
When women were in, the more risky language was out. And it wasn't just words on paper. This translated to real-world behavior. Corinne found that after women were appointed to top executive positions, two things happened. A management team's tendency to take risks dropped by between 13 to 14%, and then their willingness to become more innovative, their openness to new ideas, that increased by about 10%.
Okay, that might sound confusing because a lot of times we talk about risk and innovation going hand in hand, but they're not necessarily the same thing. Like, you can do something that's risky, but not especially innovative or original. And on the flip side, you can innovate in ways that are really risky or not risky at all.
Right. And in the years following the appointment of women to executive jobs, the way of thinking of the whole management team entirely changed. They became more open to new things, to innovation, but less inclined to take risks. Would it be safe to assume that these findings would be different in a different culture?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, because the sample for this particular study we've been talking about, it's a sample of, I think, over 160 multinational firms that are also, you know, representing about 20 different OECD countries.
Right. So countries that regard gender in a lot of different ways. Now, zooming out, when we're talking about women in general, Corinne says there are some studies that show they are a little bit less likely to take risks, but that the differences aren't that stark. You know, this is not like men are from Mars and women are from Venus sort of thing, right?
Now, there are some exceptions to her findings. You can't just pop one woman into top management and expect to see higher profits. Corinne says the change in top management team thought happens after the second or third woman is hired. One of the reasons is because the men in these circles do not necessarily have a lot of experience working with other female executives. It can take some adjustment. But by the time the second or third one comes along, they have sort of figured it out.
And of course, sometimes there are big management shifts, right? Like where half of the team gets replaced and there can be friction. That can also make it harder for new executives to get integrated.
And there's one more finding Corinne found that didn't make it into her study.
So we're always interested in what happens when women join. But what happens when women leave and there are, again, more men in the group? And what we did find is that all these things reverted back to the original sort of frame.
In other words, as women left, there was a higher tendency for the company to take risks.
I'm out of here, Adrian. This ending is on you. Huh? I'm expecting big and risky.
Okay, I'll see if I can make that happen.
Most listeners ever.
I cannot make any promises about profitability. This episode was produced by Nikki Willett and engineered by James Willits. It was fact-checked by Corey Bridges. Viet Le is our senior producer. Kay Kincannon edits the show. And The Indicator is a production of NPR.